Welcome back to Not a Single Bother podcast with myself, Aislinn Dowling. Hope everyone's well and everyone is loving life, basically. Hope everyone in Sydney is looking forward to Freedom Day next Monday, less than a week now. And hopefully onwards and upwards from then and no more backwards. Please, God, fingers, toes, fucking everything crossed. I hope everybody enjoyed part one of this podcast with Ciara O'Malley. Before I get into the episode, actually, I just wanted to remind everyone that myself and my two friends, Erin and Brona, are walking 100 miles for the month of October, 100 miles each for the month of October, to raise money for Comfort for Chemo Kerry. I've already said why we're doing it in the details. So if you want to read why we're doing it and what Comfort for Chemo are doing, you can check out my post on Instagram, or you can check out the details in the GoFundMe, which is also on my Instagram. The link is in my bio. So any donations are welcome. Anything, even if it's €2, everything adds up. And I just want to say thanks so much to everybody that's donated already. We've actually received so many donations already, and we're literally only five days into the month of October. So we really, really appreciate that. So thank you so much. So this episode is part two to Ciara O'Malley's story. And the first episode was more talking about David passing and the tragedy that was and everything like that. However, this part is more about everything after that and the progress that Ciara has made and how she has come out the other side of it. And that's probably what's most important about this podcast. It's not to be just a sad story to make you all feel super depressed and everything. It's actually for people to know and to see that you can come out the other side of things. Ciara went through such a horrible tragedy, but she is honestly so happy now, and she's helping others. And I suppose that's just what I kind of want to do. If you are grieving, if you know anybody that's grieving, even if you're not grieving, if you're just really suffering in any kind of a way, if you're feeling depressed, anything, if you listen to this podcast, I just hope that you can see, or you take something from it, that you can come out the other side of it. You can feel happy again. That's the main thing, feeling happy again. And also, even if you need help with anything, if you need help with grief or depression or anything along those kind of lines, you can actually get in touch with Ciara, because that is what she's now doing full time. She's helping others. She's honestly such an angel. So yeah, if you know anybody that's struggling, even tell them to listen to this episode, and hopefully it might be of some help. So yeah, this part of the episode is a bit more uplifting than the first part might have been for you. So yeah. This episode is proudly sponsored by Coupon Cafe. If you are looking for a taste of home with a modern twist, then follow Sydney's best mobile Irish cafe and grab yourself some wheaten bread, jam buns, scones, hot chicken rolls and Barry's tea, to name a few. Gary and Niamh will be blogging their whole experience on their socials, so make sure to follow Coupon Cafe on Instagram to see where you can find their food truck. They do click and collect orders, and they also cater for any parties and events. Whether you're a sunrise or sunset person, they have you covered with sunrise boxes with scones and caramel slices, and sunset boxes with wheaten bread, ham, coleslaw and so much more. They have thought of everything, and if you are looking for a gift idea for somebody living in Sydney, then look no further, as they offer gift cards on their website, which I will link in the description of this episode. Thanks so much to Coupon Cafe for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. And make sure to support this lovely small Irish business. So I'm going to go straight into part two of Ciara O'Malley's episode. And I just want to say a huge thank you to Ciara again for coming on and telling her story. And I really hope you enjoy the episode.
We were back in Ireland then at that stage. But David, I suppose, really powerful thing within all this is the connection, I suppose, I got with David throughout this time. And when we came home from Ireland, and we were here for them 10 months, I was linked in with community health, mental health team. At times I just did not want to be here. I really, really struggled. Mm-hmm. And David started making it really clear, I'm here. And he was sending people into my life. He was sending me messages through people saying, Ciara, I'm here, I've got you. And he was sending, dragonflies, and there was lots of signs, like David was making it really clear, and he was giving me the strength to say, you know, I'm here, I will guide you through this, you know, and he really did. And you know, he gave me the strength until we went back the following April. So, you know, and I think it's so important for anyone listening to this, you know, if you are struggling or going through anything, you know, getting that help, you know, and, yeah, and reaching out, because
100%.
I'm so lucky now, I'm in such a good place, but it's from going and getting that support and saying, you know, I can't do this, I'm struggling, you know, and not doing it alone, because, you know, there are supports out there to help.
100%.
So yeah,
just to go back to the signs and the first time you ever saw the dragonfly and all that, were you into signs, or had you ever had experience with that kind of a thing, or spoken to anyone who had seen signs from their loved ones? Like, what was your thought process on that before the accident with David had happened?
Yeah, I suppose it was never really. David used to always call me a fairy. So I was definitely open-minded to things,
mm-hmm.
but it was never anything, I suppose, it was never anything that really crossed my path. And I suppose, yeah, it was, you know, I suppose when you're really struggling like that, you want anything to make this better, or, do you know? So yeah, it was never something I really would have been into, no.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all kind of very, very new, do you know?
Yeah, it must have been so crazy for you, especially the first time when you saw the dragonfly and then you heard the quote and how directly linked they were, then was just mad. So can you chat to us a bit more about the communication you had with David, and particularly with your friend? I remember I was reading that part in the book and it was absolutely blowing my mind. Like, it was insane, the connection that they had.
Yeah. So I suppose David would have sent me when I was in an awful bad place. David would have sent me messages through a person that I would have kind of known of. And in the book, I refer to them as Sophie.
Yeah.
Because I suppose they just don't want to be known who they are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they would have came to my house one evening, and I remember them saying, you know, David's giving me messages. David's coming to me to give me messages for you. And I remember being like, oh my God, my life is crazy enough. I was like, there is enough going on in my life without this. But this person, I trusted them, and they had been so good to me. And, you know, I suppose you always remember how people make you feel rather than what they say. And I remember just looking at them, and they were so emotional, and they were like, I don't really want to be telling you this either, but he's making me here. And I was like, oh my God, okay. So anyway, then it took me a long time to process, and I remember that evening going to bed and I was like, oh my God, what the hell, this is turning to P.S. I love you, even though that's a film and this is actually my real life.
Yeah.
Because they had told me, they had written messages for me that David had given them. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like, it was just all kinds of everything. And it was so funny, actually, what you said there about, was I into any of this before? So a few years ago, we were only talking about this last week. My friends were all going to psychic mediums when we were in college. And I remember I wouldn't go. I was like, no, I don't want to know any of that stuff or whatever. And I suppose what this person was doing was they were being the medium to connect me with David, and they were giving me messages. So I remember, you know, as you said there, it all being very new, and me being like, geez, I'm not sure how I feel about this. But then anyway, I didn't sleep that night thinking about it. And I was like, oh my God, what the hell? But then within a few days, they gave me a message. They handed me this piece of paper with a message on it from David. Now, this person would not have known me overly well, and they would definitely not have known David overly well. And the message that they gave me just absolutely blew me away. I was like, how do you know this? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I remember it was like, it going back to that dragon fire, David knew I needed this. He knew I was struggling and I felt like nobody really understood what I was going through.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, this is all so crazy to comprehend, but it was like, oh my God, I needed this. And I suppose from that, we built up the most beautiful relationship. And I, between, you know, Sophie, myself and David, I'm like, oh my God, how have we got to here today? Do you know what I mean? But they would ring me. David was, they said like, David would come to them whenever I really needed support. And I remember one time being at this drive in it outside where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it really raining and it was just an awful day. And I remember like just wanting, I was, remember driving, I was like, oh my God, I don't care now if anything happened. That's how I was feeling, even though I'm, you know. And I remember pulling in the side of the road and just sitting there and absolutely in a heap, like, and I was bawling, crying, and I was just, please take me away from this. And I got this phone call and I was like, it was Sophie, and she was like, oh my God, David said you're at the side of the road and are you okay? And I was like, I was just blown away, and she could tell me exactly how I was feeling. She was like, Kira, this is me, this is David communicating with me, you know, he's with you always, he's always there. And I was like, oh my God, do you know? And it was just so it was amazing. And it was, at times I remember being so frustrated. I was like, how come you can see him? I want to see him.
Yeah.
Let him come to me. Like, why do you have to be giving me the messages? Do you know?
Yeah.
But I suppose there was such an empathy piece with, you know, this person, because they fully knew how I was feeling. Do you know? So they, between, David really used them as a means to just give me that push and give me that strength. And even to now, like, you know, he doesn't give me messages anymore. He says, you have to get them yourself. But when I needed it most, and like, we actually have a book now of a load of written messages. Like,
oh my gosh,
you know, like all on a piece of paper. And they just said it would just come and they'd write it down. And like, some of them were, even now, some of the stuff David would have said in the messages have actually happened since.
Really?
Do you know, like, he, even back then, there was, he was, you know, looking back, I'm like, oh my God. Like, so I suppose that's why, you know, I love sharing all this, because within all the pain we talk about, there was so much magic. And I know this isn't, not everyone is into this, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because there's some people who are like, our loved ones go and that's it. Then we can't communicate with them and we'll never, and that's okay, because that's what suits them.
Yeah.
So I suppose, you know, it was this, but this was giving me so much hope. It was giving me so much strength. It was giving me so much courage, and just really show me, okay, I wanted David in his physical form. I wanted him to be there with me and, you know, his presence, and just to go back to our life. But this was the next best thing, and I was going to take anything, any form of communication, you know, I had with David. So, you know, and it really did give me the strength until we had to go back and search for him the third time, do you know?
Mm-hmm. At any point, actually, did those signs and the communication with David actually make it harder for you, because you were maybe holding on to that? Like, was that ever an issue for you?
I suppose it was frustrating at times, because David wouldn't tell me anything I wanted to hear. Do you know, it was mm-hmm. never like, okay, David, tell me this. It didn't work like that. He would give me messages, or, you know, that he thought I needed to hear.
Okay.
And all I wanted him to tell me was, we're going to find you. You're going to find me here. This is how this is going to happen. Do this, do that. And it didn't work like any of that. It was never any messages about anything like that.
The messages were
always like, Kira, I'm here. I've got you. You know, it was more kind of to uplift me and give me strength and just show me he's there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was more to help me heal and to be strong, rather than what I wanted at the time was him to say, okay, I'm here, go search here, get this, do mm-hmm. that. Do you know? So yeah, it was kind of, you know, and I suppose like that was the purpose. He had a different purpose at the time than what I wanted, even though I wanted the communication. And I was so, I was terrified. I was feeling all the emotions about it. But at that minute, we hadn't found him. So all I was like, could you just tell us where you are?
Yeah.
Do you know? And David was like, and I think one of the messages I remember getting one day was like, that's not important here. And that wasn't important to David. Do you know? As in mm-hmm. like, it's important that, you know, I'm with you always,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that was the kind of messages I was getting. And I remember being like, one day I was like, what's important is we find you and bring you home. Do you know? Whereas all he wanted to do was to show us, I'm here, I'm with you. Do you know?
Yeah. Oh God, it's insane. It's just so crazy, because I suppose I've never obviously been in a situation like you, and I've also never really thought about those things before. But when I was reading it, I was just like mind blown. And I was saying it to my boyfriend Dennis. I was saying it to his mother when I was telling her about your book. She was mad interested to know about the dragonflies and all those, because she has seen butterflies and stuff when people belonging to her have passed away. Yeah. So talk to us so about the next time then you went back to the lake and back to Canada again to start the search again.
Yeah, so the next time we went back, I suppose we were eager and just raring to go.
Yeah.
And I suppose terrified and all the emotions again.
Mm-hmm.
But we had been waiting 7 months and we were just like, we need to get here and we need to find David. And, you know, we had the community all behind us, David's family, David's friends, and it was all find David, you know, bring him back to Ireland. So when we got there, we were kind of greeted with a completely different situation. The lake was still frozen over. There was snow, there was ice, there was nobody at the lake. So it was nearly, when we arrived, it was kind of like, oh my God, where are we? Because like we were used to this beautiful blue lake and mm-hmm. the sun and the campsite being busy. But I think in one way it kind of helped us a bit, because it was nearly like, okay, you know, where are we? You know, we would have, when we got there first, it was just waiting for, you know, search teams to arrive. We the canine search team that was back with us. And the first few days was just kind of, you know, getting things organized and whatever. But thank God, I suppose we were only there a few days when we did find David. So we were really, really, I suppose, blessed in that sense. But when we did get there, I suppose in our heads, you know, when we did see the lake and it was so different, it was very hard to be like, oh my God, are we going to find him? It was kind of like, oh my God, are we going to find him? We mightn't find him. And your mind is kind of going on a loop. Oh my God, what if we don't find him?
Yeah.
What if, you know, we have to go again? Do you know? And in my head, I was like, geez, I'll search forever. Do you know?
Yeah.
But thank God, you know, on the day we did find him was the first day we had the canine search team back. And it kind of, it gave us all that little bit of, you know, oomph we needed, nearly, as in, because it was okay, there's people here searching for him, you know, the ball is getting going. And we had built up such a relationship with them, because they had been with us the past two times, and you know, there was so much love and hugs, and they were like, we're going to do everything we can. And we were like, oh my God, just so grateful, thank you so much. And you know, on that morning, you know, we were just kind of watching them, because I suppose, you know, you could just about get a boat out into the water because it was still frozen. Yeah. So there was really nothing we could do, whereas before we were a lot more active. So I suppose it was a little bit more kind of frustrating in that sense, or time seemed a lot slower, because all we really could do was watch on. And that day, I suppose the frustrations were all a bit high, because we're like, oh my God, we all just wanted to be doing something. We wanted to feel like, oh my God, I have a purpose here, you know.
Yeah.
Because just sitting and watching on felt like the clock just kept ticking, and we're like, you know, oh my God, are we going to find him? So on that day, the frustrations were kind of high. So we all said, we'll go for a spin. So we took off the other side of the bridge and we were just kind of went for a drive. And it was just like any other day, really. Do you know, there was nothing different, really. But, you know, when we talk about signs and stuff, I kept seeing 222 and 22 on my phone.
Yeah.
And my sister was with me and I didn't say it to anyone else. But I kept showing her. I was like, oh, my God, I keep seeing 222, 22. I was like, it's definitely a sign. And I hadn't been into numbers or anything like that. But I was like, oh, my God, there's something. Like, and I remember just saying, it definitely means something. And so she was just giving me the, you know, the kind of whatever I needed. She's like, yes, definitely signs, definitely signs.
Yeah.
And I remember I had got angel cards as well. And I'd been doing them. And the night before I had pulled, I think I had pulled like a miracle card or something. But I remember just being like, okay, no, you know, thinking he's given us signs. And as we were coming back from our drive and we were going over the bridge, the search team were walking towards us. And I remember we just kind of thought, and they had their kind of hand as in, you know, we need to ask you something.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh my God, they must be looking for help, or they might need help with the boat, or that's all we thought. We just thought, oh, they're just looking for supplies, or they're just, something's wrong with the boat or whatever. But I suppose it kind of took a different turn when they kind of stuck their head in the window, and they just, we knew straight away. I can't even remember the words they said, but they just said something along the lines of, we think we found David. And I remember we all just, like, we were just speechless, like, as in, we were like, oh my God. Because I suppose, you know, before there had been times when, you know, one of the dogs were out, and we actually did think, there was one time we really thought we had found David.
Really?
And we were all kind of like, oh my God, oh my God. And it was just so deflating.
Yeah.
Finding out that it wasn't. But this time we were all just kind of like, all right, sure, it's just like, you know, any other day. So we were just really, I suppose you'll never ever be prepared for that. Even no one can prepare you for that. And like, we all just froze. And we were actually parked on the bridge, literally not too close where David had jumped in. So I remember we all got out of the car and we just kind of stood and looked over. And I remember you could actually see like a kind of plastic sheet with like stones on it. And you could see one of the other dog handlers like minding it. And I remember my legs nearly buckling and being like, oh my God, oh my God. And at this stage, we hadn't even all embraced each other. We were all just kind of taking this in and being like, oh my God. And I remember just all the emotion, like, as in, like, oh my God. Like, I just didn't know how I felt, like. And then within a few minutes, then we all kind of embraced, and there was so much emotion, and we were just like
such a mixture.
We didn't know what to say to each other. And then I suppose that other part of you then is like, is this real? Is someone messing with us here?
Yeah.
You know, and I remember being like, oh my God. And we were given the option then. It was like, you know, do you want to go down there? And I remember being like, oh my God, I'm definitely going down there. Do you know, because I suppose I felt like, geez, I need to feel and see this is real. I remember they were kind of saying, maybe that's not a good idea. And I was like, no, I'm definitely going, do you know. And we walked down and my sister came with me and David's parents, and we were all together, but it was a very kind of like, we're all walking ourselves, doing our own little journey down there. And I remember just feeling like, oh my God, like, what the hell, David's gone, like. And then I was like, oh my God, we found him. And it was just so many thoughts going around my head. And I was walking, I was like, how is my body moving? Do you know, like, I just couldn't understand how, you know, I was even getting down there. And it was only really then when we got down there, and I remember sitting and just breaking down and just holding whatever, which was, you know, obviously David, on this sheet of plastic, and just lying beside him and just crying and being like, oh my God, oh my God. And my heart just breaking. Like, it was just, I suppose it was like David was gone. Whereas before it was like, we'd find David, we'd find David, we'd find David. Whereas now it was like, David's gone, David's gone. I was like, oh my God. And just, yeah, it was just, even now, like I think back and I'm like, oh my God, like this all happened, you know? And then ringing my mom and being like, oh my God, mom, we found David, we found David. And I remember, you know, saying them words, the words that we longed to hear for so long. And I was so grateful, but yeah, I just felt like, oh my God, this is real. And then I was like, why am I not grateful? And there was just so many conflicting thoughts in my head.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was all kind of emotions. And, you know, it was very real. It was like, it was all we wanted, but it was like the pin in the bubble that was like, this is real now.
It must have nearly been like losing him twice in a way, as in like the first day that you found out about the accident and then again that day actually finding his body. I couldn't even imagine. And the whole period in between, like such a long stint of looking for him and waiting for it, and then again reaching that point of oh, it just must have been awful, so, so awful. And what happened then after? Like, what even was the process then after, like, it had been so long searching for him? What even did you do? What was the next thing for you?
Yeah, so he had to be identified. So they had basically said, we can't say this is David.
Okay.
And it, like, you know, but we all knew.
Yeah.
Like, we knew it was David. And I suppose that was kind of hard because it was like, oh my God, we know this. And it was an amazing dog called Coda who found David. And do you know, like, it was just, we were just so, so, so grateful. But I suppose there was lots of procedures, as you said, it wasn't just like we go home to Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, David had to be, his body had to be identified. We had to organize getting him to Ireland. So it kind of took a few weeks, but you know what? And I say this in the book, it was the few weeks that we needed. We needed them few weeks. And like, we spent a few weeks in the local town. And I think it was making peace with the lake. And the conditions changed then. The sun started coming out. The lake, you could see the lake was fully exposed. And it was like David had given us, before we came back to Ireland and everyone wanted to, you know, come out in force and give David the send-off he needed, it was like he was just, he'd given us this time to just kind of take it in ourselves and to spend time with the people who had helped us, the people in Canada, and to spend time at the lake. And, you know, and like I say this a lot in all the books, in the book, everything happened. There's a real synchronicity in it. And even looking back and like, you know, it was like David gave us them few, I think we had nearly 2 weeks by the time everything, you know, by the time we could get him back to Ireland, just to kind of process everything and really be like, oh my God, this is real. And, you know, because going back to Ireland was completely different this time.
Yeah,
do you know, like we nearly got used to going back, you know, without him. This time we were going back with him. This time we didn't have to find him anymore. This time it was really processing that David gone. This time it was time to grieve. It was time to really, I suppose, accept that David, you know, had gone and this had happened. And, you know, and like we talk about signs and whatever, and David making it so, so clear. Kira, like, I'm not going to let you go home and be a victim to all of this. And for you just to say, oh, well, my life is over now, even though I did for a while and I wanted to do that. There was so much love within it that, like, he was making his presence really, really, really clear and saying, you know, I'll guide you. Because I was terrified. I was like, oh my God.
Of course.
You know, the life I had, I think it was time then to grieve. You know, me and David had planned to get married, having kids and all that. And, you know, I didn't have time to think of any of that. I was like, oh my God, this is me. I'm really here by myself now. Do you know? And, you know, we did bring David home and we just, like, we gave him the most amazing funeral. And it was like, like, I just think he had it all planned. You know what I mean? Like, it was just
100%, yeah.
Everything happened exactly as it was supposed to. And I suppose coming back to Ireland, then it was like, okay, well, what does Ciara do next?
Yeah.
Where the hell do I go next?
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me a good old kick up the hole within a few months, and it was time to go back to work. And I remember, like, being like, come on, like, I remember being like, why should I go back to work? Like, no, I'm not good. Do you know what I mean? Like, as in, I was still very much grieving, and I was still very much like, oh my God, like, how am I going to do? It's time to go back to work. And I remember that was one message that you were on about, like, did they ever, like, were you ever frustrated with them? And I remember being like, come here, like, what are you on about? You know, but I did, and I went back to work. And I remember I really struggled because I didn't feel any bit normal. I was like, this, my life is over, like, do you know what I mean? And yeah. I was trying to do normal things, yet I didn't feel normal at all. But I suppose he kind of guided me then on a path of kind of, I suppose, mindset and into, you know, holistic kind of things. Yeah. And he was already doing it, showing me signs and being spiritual and kind of opening me up to awareness that, Ciara, maybe on a deeper level, you know, you chose all this to happen. And that sounds crazy, do you know? And, you know, that I would have, that me and David on a deeper level chose for this to happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, as in, and I remember someone saying that to me. I remember going and getting, you know, a reading done, and they're saying, your soul always knew this was part of your plan. And I remember being so, so, so devastated and being like, what do you mean this was, I wouldn't agree this. Me and David were living our best life. Why would I agree for this to happen?
Yeah.
But I suppose the more I started healing, and I call part two of the book nearly Operation Ciara, because David was pushing me. He was making sure, he was like, this will not, you know, this will not define your life. Because I was very much stuck. And I speak about the second Christmas after losing David.
Yeah.
And I had the worst time ever. And I was very much kind of victim to what has happened. I was like, oh, do you know, my life's never going to be the same. My life is over. And that's how I was thinking. And I suppose sometimes you nearly need a good old shock to the system to realize I have to do something different. And something within me kind of just, a chord struck. And I remember going to David's grave on New Year's Day, and I remember sitting at his grave, and I remember crying. I said, David, I can't do this. I said, I will do anything. I said, I can't. I need to do more than just survive here. I need to live my life again. I need to experience joy. And I suppose, you know, we speak about grief, and grief is very real. And, you know, there's the stages of grief. But, you know, in the book, I do speak about choice. And I would put choice into another stage of grief, because we're all going to lose someone in this life. We're all going to grieve a relationship. We're all going to grieve something. We're going to lose something in our life. But we can choose, you know, we have to feel, and I'm big into feeling is healing. You know, you've got to feel all them emotions, that frustration. Why has this happened? That deep hurt, like, oh, and sadness, like, I missed them. You know, and that will come with you. Grief is not, you know, linear. It will, you know, it will come with me wherever I go.
Yeah.
But I actively made a choice. And I think, you know, for anyone listening to this, and that's why, you know, and I love when we're talking about signs and whatever, and showing the contrast, as in, you know, when we speak about what happened, it's awful, it's really bad. But I love showing the other side, that within all the pain and within all the trauma, you know, David was spreading magic. There was so much love. There was community. There was people coming together to say, you know, we're here, you know, we're spreading love. And I think, you know, we hear the goods, like, we love a sad story, don't we? You know, we love, like, to hear, or tell me something's bad. That's why I'm so passionate about sharing this side. And, you know, I work in all this now, and I work with women, and I, you know, and men, you know, to show them that, you know, whatever has happened in your life, whatever challenge, it doesn't define you. You can always heal and you can always grow. And I believe that, you know, what we said there, that on a deep level, I, with David, to go through this, and he chose to guide me on this next stage, and to show me that, you know, you can get through this, and to show us that our loved ones are always with us. Like, I'd be blown away by the message that I get from people reading the book, it like makes my heart feel so full of joy. Because saying, I've lost my mother, I've lost my father, I was never into signs. And then they open them up to signs, and then they message me and they say, oh, this has happened, or, you know, I got so much healing from your book, just knowing that they're with us. And of course they're with us. You know, they don't just go and evaporate. They are with us, but they are not with us in the way we want. And I suppose that's an acceptance piece, you know, accepting that, okay, they've gone, but I'm open to, you know, them being around me in another way.
Yeah.
And they don't want us holding on. And I suppose I'm so passionate about this, that like our loved ones don't want us holding on to guilt and shame and fear and being so stuck by, you know, what has happened, or if we lose someone, or if we lose a job or whatever, that we're stuck in, oh my God, if I live my life again, or if I bring joy in, do I love them any less? They know you love them and they're with you always, do you know? And we're so powerful. Like, do you know, I did a big flip and, you know, I used to be saying my life is over. And then I started saying, you know, I started realizing, God, if I believe that, that will always be true. And I say it in the book, like a little typewriter up there.
Yeah.
And our thought, what we believe will always be true. So if we believe this has happened, my life is over, I'm never going to experience anything good again, that will always be true. But we deserve so much more than that. Mm-hmm. And our loved ones want that for us. So, you know, I started incorporating gratitude and mindfulness and meditation into my life. And I did a full switch on my life. And now I'm so grateful to say that, you know, I am so grateful and joyful to be exactly where I am. And, you know, I speak about more in the book, like, and you like, I'm sure you could see everything was very synchronistic, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It all kind of, it was like looking back that it was all planned on some deeper level.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's what David really, really wants to get through to people. And that's why, because I had no notion of writing a book. Someone told me I would have written a book, I would have been like, oh my God, you're crazy. And I say that in the book, but I think he just really wanted to, I suppose, to use me as a channel and to give so much hope and healing to others, and to show them that, you know, we're still with us. And it doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't have to be grief, it could be anything, but don't let the challenging times in your life or the things that happen to you, you know, determine where you're going. Because in this moment right now, you can always make a choice. You can always choose yourself, and you can say, okay, no, right now I need to do something. I need to change something. I deserve good things in my life. Do you know, and to spread a bit of magic, because I think if you're willing to see magic in the world, you will always see it. Yeah. And I think when someone hears my story and then they hear me on about magic and love and joy, they're like, what? But like, this is, I suppose, how my healing journey went, do you know? And that's why I'm so passionate about sharing it with others, because whoever's listening to this, it can be you too, do you know?
Exactly, yeah. That's exactly why I wanted you on, and why I found your story so inspirational. Like, as sad as the whole thing is, it's not, you know, I'm not having you on just to talk about your sad story, but it's just how you actually came out the other side. Because, you know, there's so many people, like, I haven't been through grief in years, but I know people that have, and it's just, you want them to know that you can come out the other side, especially when it's a partner and someone that's been in your life so long, or anyone at all, I suppose. It's just, it's so easy to get into a rut where you can't see life at the other side of it. Another question I have, I suppose, this question is for people who might be in a similar position to you were like 4 years ago and now, that because you're so young and you have a full life ahead of you, how have you coped with the thoughts of maybe meeting somebody else and finding love again, like, since David was obviously the love of your life and you had planned a whole future with him? Like, have you reached a point where you think about it?
I suppose where I'm at, and you'll probably see all my quotes on Instagram, I'm a firm believer that everything happens exactly as it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I think denying myself that would be fully denying a life here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As in, but as you said, for a long time, I was completely, and you probably read it in the book, I was like, no way, like, is mm-hmm. that happening? Do you know, but I've done a lot of healing. And, you know, I think, I suppose that's always something I wanted in my life. Is, you know, I had it planned with David, you know, meeting someone and having kids, and, you know, so yeah, no, I'm open to all of that, and I trust and surrender it will happen, you know, at exactly the right time. But
I think
what you said there's a lot of guilt and shame there for people who do lose their partners to grief, and they're kind of like, oh, well, if I do meet someone again, you know, does it mean I don't love them? Or, you know, will it be, obviously, you know, it will be, bring its own, but I suppose I'm a firm believer, as in, you know, living your all aspects of your life, you know.
Of
but
course.
Like what you said there, for a long time, I wasn't. I was like, no way.
Of course. And that's probably what a lot of people struggle with, because especially like the way you speak about David and the love that you have, like maybe people might fear that they'd never have that same kind of love again.
Yeah. And I suppose being open to that, you know, if we...
Exactly.
I suppose I live a completely different life now, whereas before, even before, David used to call me a big stress ball, and I'd be worrying, I'd be anxious. And I suppose all the work I've done, and you can on myself, I suppose I try to be as present as I can. Like, I can't just determine what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
And by living in what has happened, I'm not here. I'm not present. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking in, you know, what's going on today. And sometimes when things happen or tragedy happens, we're so focused on, oh my God, this has happened. And we have to do that to do our healing. Or we're like, well, what if I meet someone and this happens? So just, I suppose, bringing yourself back to now and be like, okay, mm-hmm. well, you know, what am I doing now? And just, you know, and like, David is with me always. He's making that very clear. So wherever he sends me now, he's on this journey of life. And I'm sure, you know, even last week, actually, I was out walking and I was thinking about something, and I kind of asked him for some guidance, and a dragonfly flew into the back of my head. Literally, like, I suppose even the last few months, the magic and stuff that has happened in my life is just mad. And who knows, maybe there'll be another book or whatever, but I'm definitely very passionate about, you know, working with people who have gone through something similar as well,
mm-hmm.
and showing them that, no, can come through, do you know. And definitely David and all the dragonflies are coming with me wherever he puts me next.
Yeah. And you're so kind and positive and like a ray of sunshine and such an inspiration. And you can really hear that even like when I'm reading the book, I can really hear it. And you're such an inspiration for those going through grief, especially in similar situations to yours. But what would be your biggest piece of advice to those struggling, would you say?
I suppose reaching out for help.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, as in, I haven't got here today for... it's because I've been willing to go back and do the healing,
mm-hmm.
and feeling is healing. And I say that all the time, we've got to go back to them emotions. And, you know, we're nearly programmed here, nearly, to be like, stick it back in that box there and put it back there and leave it there and just get on with your life.
Yeah.
And then what happens is then, oh, we have an outburst. Then, you know, we're overwhelmed. We put it back in the box, we leave it there. And obviously that will happen in your own time and whatever. But I suppose if we don't be so afraid to heal, and I think there's, I suppose sometimes we can be afraid to heal because we think, oh my God, we're going to leave them behind.
Okay.
Yeah. Or we're going to meet a new version of ourselves that we're not ready to meet.
Yeah.
And I suppose part of healing is, like, I feel like there's been 100 versions of Kira in the last few years. Do you know what I mean? That
mm-hmm.
I've completely grown into this woman who does, I suppose, I'm big into self-love, but I would say I have a loving relationship with myself now. But that was because I had to go back and realize that, I suppose, in this lifetime, the most important person that we will ever be with is ourselves.
Yeah.
And like, even for people looking for relationships, you know, they might be like, oh, when I meet this fella here, I'm going to feel amazing and he's going to make me feel great. We're giving all our power away to something outside of us.
Yeah.
And that's why I think this work is so powerful, because we attract what we are. So if we're willing to fill us up and put more self-love and do the healing ourselves, that will, you know, that will play out to every aspect of our life. Like, my whole life has changed. Challenging situations, people, everything around me has changed. But that's because I love and value myself enough to know my worth.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's shown to me, you know, in situations that come into my life. So just my big advice with, you know, don't be afraid to go and get help and to invest in yourself.
Yeah.
Do you know, and we really can look after everyone else. Do you mm-hmm. know, and by looking after ourselves, we're helping everyone else anyway.
Definitely.
Do you know, but there's this thing that, oh, self-love is like, oh my God, it's like cocky, or it's like, oh my God, it really isn't.
No.
Because, it, like, you know, David was taken away from me in an instant, but like, I will never be taken away from myself. So if we can't sit with ourselves or know who we are, it's very hard for other people to do that. And we often blame other people and we say they're judging me, they're criticizing me, and they're just mirroring to us what we do with ourselves. So if you're judging yourself a lot or criticizing yourself, that will be mirrored back to you by the people in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, it's so fascinating. Like, it really is. Like, so just don't ever undervalue how important the relationship with yourself is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, and
yeah.
don't be afraid to go and get help. And your loved are with you always, and you are so, so, so powerful. I think if we all knew how powerful we are, we would just, you know, like, it blows me away to think where I was and how I am. And that's because
yeah.
I was willing to invest in myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely don't go it alone. So as well as writing your own book, being a spiritual mentor and a Reiki guide, you've also started your own podcast called Mindless Full. So what can you tell us about that, and what can people expect from it if they go to listen to it?
So Mindless Full is just a podcast, I suppose, helping your mind get less full. We speak about healing and the importance of feeling your emotion, journaling, meditation, forgiveness. So kind of the stuff we've been chatting about the last few minutes, but on a kind of deeper level. And at the end of every podcast, there is kind of a meditation.
Mm-hmm. And you have the best voice for it, by the way. Your voice is so soothing. I was listening to it there last week. Oh my God, yeah, it's so, so soothing.
I think, you know, you can hear, you know, when someone's passionate about what they do. You can feel it off them straight away.
Yeah.
And I just love sharing this, because I'm like, no, come on now. Let's, we're powerful beings, and it's time for that heal and grow and change the world.
100%. What's next for you now in your life, and what are the main things you would say that you've learned over the last few years?
So what's next for me? I've actually was working part-time, and I've kind of left my job now, so to do this full-time.
Amazing.
I'm not sure what I'm going to be doing, but I'm hoping, and I know David has some kind of plan.
Oh, that's amazing.
To do like workshops and stuff.
Yeah.
The whole space for people who are grieving, and just help people see how powerful they are and to heal and grow and to just live my best life, do you know, as in.
Exactly.
I suppose, you know, whatever comes on my path, just take every day as it comes and try and experience joy daily and do all the things that fill me up, because, you know, like, life is too short and it's too precious to be worrying and waiting for, oh well, I'll do that next week, or I'll do it 3 weeks time or whatever. Do it now.
Yeah.
You know, do it now and make the most of it, because you don't know what is around the corner for you. So for me, just taking in all the lessons that life has to offer.
Exactly. Oh God. You'll be absolutely amazing at whatever you do anyway, because you're absolutely flying it. There's so many more things I could have asked you about, because
I don't stop talking.
No, it's not even that, but there's just so every little part in the book, I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing, that's insane, that's amazing. But so where can people buy the book, so if they want to buy it, is my next question.
Buy the book on mayobooks.ie or Book Hub Publishing, but I think would a lot of your followers be from Australia?
Yeah, there's a mixture, yeah.
Because I think you can get it from Amazon as well now, and it's actually delivering like within 3 days.
All right, okay, unreal. That's very good. So it's called Miracles Appear When Loved Ones Are Near. That's all my questions. I was actually very afraid that I was going to start crying when I was doing this, because every time I think of it, like even in the car this morning, I was kind of, I think of certain things, yeah. I'm like, oh Jesus, if I start crying now when I'm talking to her.
Yeah. But you can see how much I've healed when we're talking about it, you know. You can, because yeah. I wouldn't have been able to talk about this, you know, like
I know,
like
yeah.
I do that for a mm-hmm. long time. But I suppose writing the book within itself brought me so much healing, because I had to keep going through it until I was able to fully accept, okay, this was part of my journey and this has happened.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah, that must have been like a massive like journaling process, like really getting everything out. Like, yeah. But thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, do you know what? I just love sharing this and sharing the other side of it. Do you know, as in like, okay, it happened and it was awful, but you know, you can get through it.
Yeah,
and
growing
in the magic as well.
Yeah, I really do hope that, you know, even if one person took something from this, like, it would be amazing. Yeah.
That is it for this week's episode. I really hope that you enjoyed it. And if you want to follow Kira, I will link her Instagram in the description of this. And if you want to buy her book, I will also leave the links for that in this description. And yeah, I really hope you enjoyed the episode. As always, please rate me and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, and tell your friends, tell your family to tune in. Thank you so much, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye.